You need a bad operation. Give me the scissors. Hammer. Flame.
It's a daily operation. Cubicle.
Operating correctly.
The time is 5 p.m. and now you're leaving your cubicle.
Operating correctly.
It's a daily operation. Cubicle.
Operating correctly.
The time is 5 p.m. and now you're leaving your cubicle.
Operating correctly.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Operation Cubicle. This is episode 157, and the topic for this episode is boundaries. Now, this is the show where we take one topic and we look at it from the corporate side, how it affects us at work, and we also flip it around and we look at it from the geeky side, how it affects us in our personal lives. I'm Agent Jackson, broadcasting to y'all live out of Milwaukee, and I'm joined, as usual, by my wonderful, lovely co-host, JP Fairfield. How you doing, JP?
Hey.
Yo, I have no idea what's going on right now. My brain is crazy. But I'm still here for the people, you know, just to be all transparent and thing, you know. I mean, JP was here on time, ready to go. I was on the couch sleeping for actually a while, because I had an interview today, so I got home a little bit earlier than I normally do, and I laid down on that wonderful couch. The Olympics was on. I love the Olympics. And next thing I know,
snore.
You know, but no, shout out to my girlfriend Laura for letting me sleep.
We like Laura anyway, so much. So
I'm saying, man, I would have came in the apartment trolling. I mean, if she was asleep, I would have came in and been like, trying to wake her up or something. But yeah, that's why you have to have a better half, right? You have to have a better half. Are you big on the Olympics at all?
No, well, not this year, apparently, because I haven't even bothered to try to watch it, so.
Yeah, I love the Olympics. Mostly the Summer Olympics, though I watch the Winter Olympics as well. But yeah, I don't know, I get all caught up in the storylines, and I just love, it's a good reminder to me that the world is, like, mostly, like, Black and brown people, mm-hmm. Because like when you see like the countries come in, I'm like, yo, like the world is beautiful, I just love it, even though these are sports that I don't normally keep up with during the not the Olympic time, but I love gymnastics and even things like archery and the only thing that I tried to watch that doesn't really excite me is like equestrian, like the horse, riding a horse and jumping over hurdles and shit. Like that I think is like kind of whack, but everything else is just super dope, So I'm a big fan. Shout out to the men and women's swimming team with y'all broad ass shoulders out there making it happen and reminding me that I could never backfloat. I tried, JP. I went to the YMCA almost every summer as a kid, and we had like swim classes, and I just could never backfloat. And that was required for you to go in the deep end. You had to know how to backfloat, and I just couldn't do it. So I had to stay in the shallow end. It's one of my greatest life failings. Yeah. Are you a swimmer at all?
I can float. So
how do you backfloat? I can't.
I don't know. That was the only thing I could really do with, some consistency. but swim, yeah. I can paddle.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, I can, if it If it came down to it, I could swim. You know, like if I needed to, I could do it. But like, I'm not like a great swimmer, which is weird because I had so many years of being in a pool, but like for some reason, I would just freak out if like the water got even close to my nose, if I was trying to float on my back. So I don't know. Everybody has things that they're dope at. I just couldn't do it. Yeah. All right. So. Yeah, so I don't think there's much feedback, but I did want to say that, and it might be a little too late before this episode. It might be either right when this episode drops or right after it, but I'm going to be on the Vanguard and STEM YouTube show talking about being burnt out. And other issues for people of color in STEM fields. So make sure to check that out, either VanguardSTEM.com or like just at VanguardSTEM on Twitter. So that should be a lot of fun. And if you also want to have fun with our older shows and all kind of things like that, you can go to operationcubicle.net. With that, we'll bring you to the Podomatic page. You can see all our old episodes, and you can subscribe on your podcast feed. If you go to iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Podomatic, or Google Play, type in Operation Cubicle. It'll be right there. You can... Feature us. I'm really off. You can also tweet us at Operation Cube on Twitter or Facebook.com/Operation Cubicle if you want to hit us there as well. JP, how can the people find you?
They can find me at jpfairfield.com. I'm on Google Plus under name JP Fairfield on Twitter. At ISITIS, ISITIS. I'm also on another podcast called Nergasm Noir Network. You can find me there at NergasmNoir.net. Boom.
Boom. All right, y'all. Let's go into our music break, and we will be back with the topic of boundaries. Once again, it's Operation Cubicle. Asian Jackson and JP Fairfield. See y'all soon.
I get in shape and do my physical fitness. Your head's numb, so your brain's a mistress. Pick 'em up, beat 'em up, pick 'em up, beat 'em up, pick 'em up, picklehead, pick 'em up, piggy. I roll with clouds and I come real sticky. Gripping the mic, I plug it up in your ears, poison brewed. I'm coming out like beers, like Rango, Miller Quartz and Buzz. I'ma eat 'em with popcorn and treat 'em like such a duds. Coming out the wick, whack, wicky, pick up a whack, black jack, that's a fact, right in the sack behind your back. The funk rhyme and master, blaster, kicking up in a brainstorm, rainstorm, rap. On the hype tip, I roll and rock and roll, jazz and pop, rhythm and blues, dance and fusion, brain confusion. Look at the lights, what a night on the town. I'm Papa Lodge, big shot on the East Coast. I'm Papa Lodge, big shot on the East Coast. I'm Papa Lodge, big shot on the East Coast. I'm Papa Lodge, big shot on the East Coast. Now back the funk, freak the funk. The funk, swipe the funk and all that junk. I get busy on them, communicate with the world. Man, woman, a baby boy and a girl. Papa Lodge, looking out the bombs drop. Take your stride while you're facing arms drop. Stop, look, learn to read, learn to write, learn to talk, learn to walk. And watch your step though, I'm hyping right though. A kleptomaniac, a rhyming psycho. A Ricky Ricardo, a Guy Lombardo. Sporting a rag top, an El Dorado. Step into Hollywood, a swing in the boulevard. The rhymes are game type, I'm ready to pull a card. Jack of Ace. The queen, call me the deuce. I'm pouring out like juice. Getting the top, filling the rim, getting the trim. I never rhyme like them. On and on, on and on, on and on. Until the break of dawn, I go overtime. Rock the mic at nighttime. Daytime, switching off the prime time. Pacific East form back in the West time. Ride the funk with the mic in the East rhyme. Hype and dope, hype and flame, the mic is smoking. Yo, I ain't joking. Rhyme to kill, rhyme to murder, rhyme to stomp, rhyme to ill, rhyme to rock. Smack, rhyme the shock, rhyme the road, rhyme to destroy any decoy boy. On the microphone, I'm Papa Lodge, big shot on the East Coast. I'm Papa Lodge, big shot on the East Coast.
instead I find myself looking at the clock, hoping for the day to fly by. So I ask myself why I'm doing this remedial work for second graders. I'm an educator with mega flavor, so maybe I should just jump up and get ill. Maybe I should let these people know they're being killed. Maybe I should try my very best to chill and get paid, cause I gotta pay bills.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Operation Cubicle, episode 157, Agent Jackson and JP Fairfield. And the topic for this show is an article that we found on lifehacker.com, which is called Instead of Work-Life Balance, Try Focusing on Boundaries, which is really interesting because I've never kind of seen these two topics put up as, I guess, mutually exclusive or opposing things. But, like, the article makes, you know, some pretty interesting points. So we thought it'd be a good idea to, you know, to talk about it and just see what we think and to see, obviously, what you, the listeners, think. So one of the first parts of the article that I thought was pretty interesting is that it says that the phrase work-life balance, that there's two problems with the phrase. One is that it suggests that work isn't part of your life. It's separate. And then they say, well, it has to be a part of your life because it takes up a huge amount of your waking hours. And it also says that the art of balancing is both inflexible and delicate, but life requires flexibility. So I wanted to get your take on that, on those identified issues with the work-life balance. So let's start with the first one. Do you think that because, you know, obviously we spend, you know, 8 or so hours of our working hours at work, do you think that, like, that means that work is a part of your life?
I mean, technically, it is. I mean, I understand what the phrase work-life balance is supposed to invoke, that there should be a balance between your career and your life outside of that career. I understand that. But, honestly, work is sort of part of your life in a way, because so much of your day is dedicated to your career or your job. And I think the whole, honestly, it really doesn't matter what you call it. It's just the most important thing is having some type of system or some type of way to make sure that most of your time and energy is not overspent in work, because then you have the risks of getting burnt out and slowly hating your job and just where you're quitting out of nowhere because you have no release outside of your job.
Yeah. I think it does depend on, as you said, the technical definition of life. Like, sure, like, they're taking it on a very technical way, but to me, work-life balance, life means, like, you know, not the technical, like, you're up and breathing. It's more like, you know, you're doing what you're passionate about, and you're, you know, and that's not always your job. You know, I mean, like, I know that it's the ideal that, yeah, like, you're working a job and you're so passionate about it. You're as passionate about that as you are, you know, family and, you know, and your other hobbies and that kind of stuff. But I don't think that's really the case for most people that are not entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. you know. So I do think that this definition of life that they're using is a little too practical and not really, you know, it's just not realistic, I think, you know, to, say that that means that it's a problem with, work-life balance. And that second issue saying that, balancing is rarely attainable, so that's sort of like a issue with it is, you know, I think that they're taking the word balance as like 50-50 You know, like it has to be in total equality. And I think that that differs as well. I think that in work-life balance, the balance means that you're not driving yourself crazy, mm-hmm. you know? And that's different because, like, for some people, work-life balance means that they're working 80 hours a week, you know, but they're happy with the, but that gives them, but that enables them to do something else that makes them super happy on the off hours, mm-hmm. you know? And for some people, they're working part-time, you know, and that enables them. So I feel like that balance is not always like it's not like a scale, you know, where it's like, you know, where you're weighing to a different thing. So do you think that the idea of a balance is like a kind of a not really attainable for most people?
I mean, I see where the writer is coming from, that if you hear work-life balance, if you're not familiar with what it's supposed to mean, you might think, oh, it has to be that 50-50, when actually you're trying to come up with a way to make sure that, you know, you're, I mean, they're, you know, let me rephrase this. So most people, if they're not familiar with the term, might think the 50-50, and maybe that's what the author is trying to say. But it didn't really come across in this article very well. But I feel like that was a thought pattern they might have took. And I think that's the reason why they feel like it should be a terminology change with work-life balance. Mm-hmm. Because, one, yes, technically it is a part of your life. And for some people, work is a very big part of their lives. And, you know, for them, work-life balance is a lot more of a gray area for them. And I guess to be more, this is gonna sound weird, general and specific at the same time.
Ooh.
I know, it's gonna sound weird because
talk about balance.
Right.
That's balance.
You know, I guess the terms that he's trying to use evokes more of that, you know, put a little bit of column A, put a little column B this week, you know, and, you know, that flexibility of every day making those decisions of, okay, what's going to be important to me on this day at this hour? Is this going to be work? Am I going to do work? How's that going to make me feel? Am I going to miss something outside of work that is important to me that I'm willing to sacrifice? And if I'm not willing to sacrifice, you know, what is my plan? Maybe, you know, I think that's is more of a what the author is trying to do is more of a kind of line of thinking where mm-hmm. you're always making decisions in terms of what is more important to me at this moment.
Okay. I think I see what you mean. So, like, you're saying that the piece is saying that this more of like you're having this active conversation with yourself every time.
Right.
As opposed to it being more of a natural, like, constantly swaying thing.
Right. So, for some people, if they try to achieve work-life balance, they might go into the pitfall of thinking, oh, it has to be 50-50, or thinking, oh, I, this, you know, rigid set of rules to make sure that you have balance between work and life. And I think what the article is trying to say is that if you that most people might try to create these rigid rules, and really it should be more of a, you know, inner communication that you kind of check in with your own self and your own state of mind about, okay, do I stay late today for work and, you know, finish out this assignment? Or do I go to that dinner with the coworkers when, you know, I really, you know, even though I'm really tired, you know, just trying to make those decisions. Because if you have a rigid rule that's saying, oh, in order for me to have work-life balance, I need to leave the office by 6 p.m. But, you know, how many times are you going to really follow that rule? So, and make right. yourself feel like crap when you don't follow that rule.
Yeah. No, you, definitely bring up some good points. Cause I've definitely, you know, I've definitely been too harsh on those rules in the past. And yeah, like it definitely has made me feel like crap. Cause like, I understand that you do have to have some kind of flexibility. But I guess, I mean, maybe I misinterpreted work-life balance, but that's what I thought it was. I thought, like, when I think of like, work-life balance, I mean, some days I might have to work super late, and then other days I might, you know, take some time off, or like, I might tell my boss, like, yeah, I was working like mad late, you know, on Monday, can I get, you know, can I come in late on Friday, or like, can I not come in on Friday, kind of like off the books kind of thing, you know, like that to me is more work-life balance, as opposed to like, you know, I can never stay after 5:30 or else it messes up my balance, you know. So it might be that maybe I just have sort of a different definition of the term, because like that seems to almost flow more into how they define boundaries, which we'll get into next. So basically what they do is they have three ways to ditch balance and embrace boundaries. You know, and their definition of boundaries is, you know, that you're in the driver's seat. You understand that things won't always go as planned. You regularly reconfigure how your day and week is going to play out based on professional responsibilities and personal needs, which like, again, was, you know, would be my definition of work-life balance. So it might be a semantic thing, but yeah, I definitely like sort of that, like always readapting things, you know, having a base, but like being willing to change that up. And also being aware that, you know, if there's too many exceptions that are being made to your base, and that might mean that you got to bounce, you know, right. Because I'm fine with like working late, you know, on that exception where there's some mission critical thing. But if it becomes like a everyday thing, then I'm like, all right, peace. All right. So the number one way to ditch balance and embrace boundaries, according to the Lifehacker article, is set your boundaries daily based on your priorities. And they give examples like, you know, if you know that there's something in the future, like a birthday party, or like something, you know, don't volunteer for something that's like time sensitive. And the other way too, you know, if like you have if you have something that's like really busy at work, you know, don't try to plan something that's personal. Now, in terms of this, you know, how have like you done in this arena, JP? Do you feel like that, like you've like been able to, you know, ease up on work if your personal life is like really busy, or ease up on your personal life if work is busy?
Yeah, I have done this. Like I have left work early due to personal reasons, because I just felt like, okay, I worked a lot last week. This is an event that I want to go, and you know, I know if I leave out of my regular time, I wouldn't make to that, you know, home to change and then to that event. And I didn't want to bring clothes with me. So I was like, you know what? Forget it. I'll just leave early. You know, I have overtime, so I just won't charge them, you know, for, you know, half a day or leaving maybe 2 or 3 hours earlier. And then on the other hand, I have canceled, you know, a vacation because I had to do a training class. And that was the only week they can do it. And luckily, you know, I can use my ticket for another plane ticket, which I did. And I'm not changing that ticket ever again. So they better. And, you know, and that's my boundary. I was like, I would do this once because you said that was, you know, you definitely need to have it during this week. But this would not happen again.
So, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like that's a very reasonable way to like do it. Is that to be like, yo, I'm canceling my shit because this is important, but there's only so many times that something can be important. You know?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Everything can't be important. Right. So
like they better not come up talk about, oh yeah, can you do this training and it's doing Dragon Con? No. No, unless you're gonna do training up while we in a freaking panel.
I mean, all right.
I'm not.
Yeah.
I don't care if you reimburse me. No, I don't care.
Yep. Nope. That is not always the solution to it, you know? Like right. There's sometimes I wanna do something and like a reimbursement isn't the same thing as me taking a trip to a beach somewhere, so no. I've done an okay job with this. The only thing that I think that this point doesn't take into consideration is like in that birthday example, like they kind of say, like if that birthday is like coming up, then like you probably don't want to volunteer for a work project. I don't think a lot of times you volunteer for stuff at work, at least at like my kind of jobs, like your boss comes to you and says, here's what you have. Or like a client comes and like says, hey, I had this, like this like big issue. I need you to like work on it. So a lot of times it's like not like me volunteering for like something. It's me pushing back to either my boss or the person saying, hey, I already have this thing going on. And as what happened with that vacation that you had, you know, based on the severity of it, sometimes that work thing will like win out. But I feel like them saying to volunteer, I feel like they make it sound like that the employee is always in control of like
right.
The stuff that's in their bucket, and I just have not had that experience at all.
Yeah, because they may mean, oh, if it's an extra project and you volunteer to do that, but most of the time, whatever project comes your way is from your supervisor. So,
right, yeah, and I remember times where like you know, let's like say I normally do a project in like 4 weeks, right? And then we get a request in, and during that request, I have you know, already have an approved like week off of time. You know, I'm like, don't tell them 4 weeks. Like, you better tell them 5 weeks because I can't do it any faster. But a lot of times I feel like they'll expect you to still do things with the same turnaround, even though you already have personal commitments that have been approved by them,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so like, as my career has gone on, I've been really adamant about always saying like, look, like they just have to understand that there's only a finite amount of time and, you know, we're not here for you forever. So, yeah. All right, so the second way that they suggest to ditch balance and embracing boundaries is practice establishing your boundaries with others, which like ties in kind of nicely to what I just said. It like basically says you know if there's something crazy that's like going on at work, to make sure to like communicate with your partner about it, which to me has been huge. Like, that has improved, like, my life and my relationship so much. Because I used to always try to hide that shit. Like, I used to be like, yeah, like, I'm just grinding, you know, and, like, I'm just kind of keeping it to myself. And I wouldn't always tell, like, my partner or my friends or my family, even though I knew that, you know, shit, I'm going to be up late for the next 4 days, you know. Once I started communicating that, I feel like conversations and, like, things that might have blown up into bigger things on the personal side has gotten so much better and, like, so much easier, because people do want to understand and they want to help. They just need to know, mm-hmm. you know, that, like, you're not just, like, fucking around being up late, or, like, you're not just, you know, going out to happy hours or, like, something like that, you know. This has been a huge help for me. Has it been a help for you? Have, like, you kind of had this practice of establishing boundaries with others in your life?
Yeah, because I will say no. I never had that problem saying no. Well, before, okay, saying no to certain people, yes. Or what I do a lot is I'll say no at first. I'll just do a blanket no, and then I'll think about it, and then I'm like, you know what, I could probably do it, and then I'll later tell them, you know what, I can actually do that for you. So that's I think that's nice. How I'm doing it. I'm just blanket no, and then that way they already got their answer, and if I decide to change my mind and decide to do whatever they wanted me to do for them, then I could come back and say, and at my own leisure, because, yeah, I'd rather just say no outright.
Okay, all right. So like, do you just have, like, a default, like, a no button?
Apparently, I do. Because I've been thinking back about when people ask or request, I was like, wow, for most people, I just say no outright.
yeah. I can just see you kind of like pressing no, like, before they even finish the request, like they're in the middle, you're just like, no. And then you might get back to them later. That's what I wish I could do. I wish I could do that, but I would definitely advise, especially if you're earlier in your career, to definitely start to be comfortable with not accepting any kind of bullshit that comes your way, by, like, saying no and, like, communicating those, like, times that are gonna be extra heavy for you. And I think that goes the other way as well. You don't have to get into all your business with your job ever, but, you know, if there's something really big going on, like, God forbid you have a family member pass away, or there's something that you know you need to either take time off, or, you know, or like, you know, is that going to affect you? If you have a really good, like, relationship with your boss, I would go to them. And if not, I would go to HR and just let them know, like, hey, like, I need some time off, or I need FMLA, or, like, I need, you know, to just come in late for, like, a few days, or, like, leave early, or, like, something, you know. That kind of, like, communication of the boundaries on both sides, I think, is a huge asset that, like, I wish I knew in my, like, 20s, because it wasn't really until my early 30s, which is, like, when, like, I really started to understand that. All right, and the last way to ditch balance and embrace boundaries is understand your boundaries by failing first. And they basically, I kind of didn't understand this one as much, to be honest, because I understand that failure breeds success, but at the same time, I don't think you have to fail to know what a boundary is all the time. You know, like, I'm not going to be like, hey, I'm going to work, I don't know, 12 hours every day just to see if it's a boundary. Oh no, I failed. Oh yeah. You know, like, I need to dial that back a bit, you know? And that might be, you know, exaggerating a bit, but, I feel like there's enough things that I know are a boundary that I don't feel like I need to go all the way up to the limit. There are some like new things though that like I might say, hey, like I didn't realize that like I could do this, and I didn't think that I could be this like flexible. But yeah, I don't know how much I agree with having to fail first to be able to know that something is a boundary. Where do you fall on that part?
I think probably because sometimes if you get too deep into something, especially your work, you can kind of get lost into the schedule. So, I feel this probably will work with certain type of people if you're not disciplined. And you might, sometimes you don't understand what is a boundary until the situation comes up where you have to make a decision whether you're going to go with it or not.
Good point.
So one case is a project that I was on where it was really, really behind schedule, and I feel like it was because of the planning of the project was underestimating how much time it would take. And what ended up, we had to do so much testing and we had to keep coming on weekends and staying late to catch up. And after a while, I was like, I'm not doing this anymore.
Right.
I'm just like, this is ridiculous. The reason why I feel the author was saying fail first is because sometimes there are boundaries at work that you don't realize that you need to put in place until that situation comes up. So for instance, when I was working on a project, like maybe years ago, and we had a lot of overtime. We had to stay after work, and then we even had to come on weekends. Yeah, we worked from home for weekends, but still, you were still doing work. You wasn't actually going out and doing stuff. And after a while, it was really problematic because it was a large backload, and we kept having to come in late and on the weekends, and then, you know, and we was getting really tired and stressed out. And since a lot of people was complaining, and I'm glad that we kind of, most people complain as a group, they instituted we kind of took turns having to do overtime. So we had slots either on the weekdays after work or on the weekends, and it was just maybe 2-hour, 4-hour chunks. That way you wasn't doing overtime and working every single day. So you would never imagine you would be in that type of situation at work, but when that came up, now you have to have a plan of how am I going to tackle this so I won't rage quit.
I definitely see where you're coming from, and that probably was what the author was like thinking, is that sometimes there are boundaries that you don't know are boundaries, you know, until you run into them. And that probably is a lot of them, to be honest, like especially, you know, when you're in a new industry or a new job, or you know, or just starting your career out, you know, like a lot of times you might think you know what they are, but you don't really. So those are the three points that they give. I think a lot of my agreements and disagreements with it come down to semantics, I guess. Like, I said at the beginning, I don't see work-life balance and boundaries as like these like enemies that, you know, that are opposed to each other. But I guess I do agree with the main point of the article, which is to be sort of consistently reassessing how your days and weeks look based on what you know is going on, like professionally and personally. And make sure that you're valuing your personal life And not just accepting everything on the professional side. And, you know, if something is fucking up your boundaries / work-life balance, you know, like, consider leaving. If, you know, if you can. I mean, I know definitely there's a situation where people have, you know, like, you got to pay bills, and the job market might not be too great for, like, what you're doing. I understand that. But, you know, if you have the ability to, I would say definitely look towards switching positions if you're at a company or a job where it's constantly violating those boundaries and those work-life balances. You don't want to cancel too many vacations is what I'm saying.
Right. Or if, you know, if they have the expectation that, you know, you should want to work 24/7, you know, all the time. And if they have that expectation, run.
Yeah. That, you know, that's kind of like how my first job was. It was this whole like you should be honored to be working on this important work for these clients, and because I was traveling all the time and staying in like hotels, it was this whole like we're paying to bring you out here, and you know, and like you should be working your ass off because that's how it gets done, and we worked like, you know. There was no day where we weren't working like 10 hours, like, easy, you know, and yeah, it was nuts. You know, like, I wish I knew earlier that wasn't acceptable. So, yeah, but what is acceptable is if people go to OperationCubicle.net, check out other episodes, tweet us at Operation Cube, Facebook us. I just made that up. That's probably not a verb. That's probably
something. It is now. Say.
Yeah, exactly. I could probably say that to my parents, you know, at facebook.com/OperationCubicle. And of course, iTunes, Stitch Radio, Podomatic, Google Play. Type in Operation Cubicle. JP, one more time. How can the people find you?
They can find me at jpfairfield.com. Also, check me out at Nagasa Noir. No. Ooh. What happened? Nagasa Noir Network. You passing over your issue to me, Sharif, right now.
I am. It's osmosis. All right. So, with that, y'all, we are out. Have a great week. Peace. I just can't wait to get on home, away from you, and be on the low. Turn off the TV and plug the phone, 'cause it's 5 o'clock and everybody sang along. Bye-bye.